what does design have anything to do with Afrofuturism? Our future is completely limited by what we can imagine. And African Americans in the United States have been so affected by white supremacy and policed that our imaginations are limited. Today, we can only imagine what has been presented to us, which makes our radical imagining very difficult. Ultimately, science is design, because many systems that we work in today are operated by a design from white supremacy. If we're talking about scientific systems like artificial intelligences, we have seen how white scientists program AIs to be biased. And in order to design our future, we have to have intimate conversations about how do we have a healthy and happy future by reflecting on our present. Oftentimes they say design requires a series of intimate conversations. A lot of these intimate conversations aren't done by large companies because they profile us. They watch us, they don't talk to us. Therefore, Afrofuturism in the AM is a continuing series of intimate conversations with the community so that we can design the future that we want to see. Last time on season one of Afrofuturism in the AM.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Can we all, can we hear us on the mic?
Let's see here. I'll let you know.
Good morning. I feel like we are coming to this point where we are listening to each other. One of our values, I like to do this thing, I call it value of the day. What's our value of the day? Which is listening to our community.
Oh my gosh, I love that, Shatana.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's why I love you, yeah.
A lot of people, they say that black people need to do this, black people need to do that, but ain't nobody listening.
And then, you know, it does. Look, even beyond that, it's so crazy you say that, because it's like, why are we still clumping black people as we're just one
monolith
people?
Yep.
Why are we doing that?
Black people are diverse. And
we
black
are.
People also, we're not just diverse because black people exist in every continent and country in the world, but we're also diverse in our politics. You know, hey, Tiffany.
Hey there.
So, we're on our second show of the month.
Already.
Yes. And time, like I said, this is forever be my anthem on time. It just keeps on flipping.
Isn't that the truth?
You can't really hold on to time. It's an intangible object, and it's so valuable.
It is. That's why when the conversation comes up about time management, it's like, no, time manages you. You don't manage time.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because our conversation really does have there are different time periods that I actually want to talk about in this kind of introduction to our upcoming episode. So I think it's a really good, meditation to think on, like, what is time? Because, the understanding in African cosmology is that the present, you are the present, and you create your future. So the present and the future are one.
Right.
That's why they say, the future is now, because, like,
you know, in our past conversations, we know that we create the future. But our past really isn't even past either, because our past is currently living with us. And all of the decisions of all the people who came before us have brought us to this point right now. So there's like a little bit of a divinity in that kind of meditation on like, what is time?
There's totally.
Everything is purposeful.
I can see that when we talk about the past and how we can correlate that to history, if you will, with history being an investigation of the events that previously occurred. I could see how we can really elaborate on this definition of time, right? There's a formal definition. Well, it's informal actually, where it's you know, the measure of social constructs. And when we're talking about other belief systems, it's a very linear experience. We've talked about this prior. Yeah. Whereas for us, it's like you just said, it's our presence, and more so measuring that in the intentionality of our presence being one with the future. So it does feel really wonky at times, because it's difficult to ground in the present because there's so much going on with us right now, you know?
Yes. And yeah. The alternate. So actually, I think this is a perfect segue into the thing that I wrote down on like my meditation. So
And so this one wonderful woman, this one wonderful Black woman got on Instagram. She made this song called "The Earth is Ghetto, I Want to Leave." And
that's what's up, girl.
It's very much so like what is centered in Afrofuturism. I know a lot of Afrofuturist stories, like those older Afrofuturism stories were exactly about that.
Totally.
They're just like, I need to leave.
In fact, get me out of here.
Sun Ra was the number one. Yeah. He was like, I ain't even human.
No, for real.
I ain't even from Earth.
Right.
You know, humans don't even understand me. That's the problem with humans. All y'all care. You know, this is Sun Ra 101. You know, Earth is ghetto and I want to leave. Sun Ra's like, I've been left. I've been gone.
Yeah. Like, I'm out of here. Lotus popsicle stand. But it is. It's real. Yeah. So many of us feel that way. Mm. Like, how did I step off the ship and get here?
You didn't. You were dragged.
No, for real. So, I get it. I get it.
Okay. So, God.
To you today, you don't find Jewish folk. You don't find too many Jewish people in jail and in prison. Why is that? I'm not just talking about white folks. I'm specific. Jewish. I just want to say that I have a pastor friend who actually posed this question to a rabbi. And the rabbi's response was simple. You know, not that Jewish folks are any better than anyone else, but Jewish folks don't allow anyone else to educate their children. They have their own schools. They continue to maintain the practice of their tradition in their homes. There is a rite of passage for every Jewish teen to, you know, go through their bat mitzvah. So what am I saying? I am saying that these are traditions. Every Jewish man, woman, boy, and girl can tell you about the Holocaust. But how many Black children can talk about the Black Holocaust that persists today? How many of them even know about the transatlantic? How many of them know about the Jim Crow South? How many of them know about just the experience of their grandmothers and their great grandmothers and fathers? We have stopped telling our story. And I think that is the greatest lesson or nugget if we end today in terms of what we can do to continue to take our faith and allow it to help us to deal with the death-dealing systems of oppression that we continue to stand against in our culture, it's important to be able to be an informed people who know who you are. Because if you know who you are, oh my word, if you ever had an inkling of who you are, then there it would be impossible to see some of the outcomes that we see today. You see, no one can touch, no matter my circumstance or situation, no one can touch that which sits on the inside of me. You know, I'm very clear about who I am and whose I am. And I just want to say, with your point about this lack of trust and this concern about, you know, everyone who's your kin is not your kind. That's an old adage that we often use today. And that may be true, but that's true everywhere. You know, once again, when I lean on the ministry, the life, the model of Jesus Christ himself, even Jesus handpicked each disciple, and Judas was one of them. One of them was going to be a traitor. One of them was going to, you know, lead him into the throes of those who would ultimately crucify him. And so, you know, having to deal with the outliers, you know, of families, or the outliers of communities, the imposters, if you will, who will serve to undermine, you know, the trust, undermine the relationships, the bonds, and the values. Those folks will always be present. And that's not limited to race. That's not limited to anything. It's not limited to race, gender, orientation, anything. You're going to have that as long as you have humanity, because human beings will fail you. Even at your best, you will be misunderstood. And so what is the take home? The take home is to tell your story. For me, the take home is to know who you are at your core. You asked me at the beginning of our talk to tell you a little bit about myself and who I am. And I am very clear that I am the express manifestation of the love of God realized in this earth realm for such a time as this. I recognize and am clear that I am a spirit being. I operate in spiritual realms. And I am held captive on planet Earth by this body. The gravitational pull is on my body, but not on my soul, not on my spirit. You understand? And so when I know who I am at my core, you know, I am an African-American woman, right? And I am living in an unjust society and culture. I am living in a divided culture called the United States of America. And yes, I have purpose. I was placed in this culture, in this earth realm, for such a time as this, by God, vicariously, through the womb of my mother, Minrose T. Hall, for purpose. I am the daughter of Cornell Hall. I'm sent here on purpose. My mother, my father were deliberate in their pouring into me. I am Dr. S.C. Hall today, not because I came out the womb desiring to be, but because I am the product of someone who spoke into my life. Not just one, but several someones. Because I am the product of a God nature, you know, and a God manifestation that is yet real and relevant in my life today. I am able to stand firm in who I am greatly, largely in part, because I know a little bit about my story. And I'm seeking every day to learn more. And I admonish us all to do the same.
Thank you so much for this. And I am moved. I'm like over here tearing up. So I really appreciate everything you said to me today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. And it's such an honor and a pleasure. I'm so proud of you. And I thank you for bringing me into the 21st century, as this is my first podcast experience. God bless you for helping an old girl out.
Well, I look forward to talking to you again, okay?
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
No problem. Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey there, this is your host, Shatana. Before we begin season 2, I wanted to take a moment to share my reflection on season 1 and give you my key takeaways. These key takeaways are graphically organized and available on my social media and in the newsletter. If you would like to deepen your engagement, please sign up for the newsletter by visiting the link in the episode show notes. All right, let's get started. Season 1 of Afrofuturism in the AM began with a recognition that the world has been designed in a way that makes every aspect of Black life political. Over the course of 6 months during 2021, my friend and co-host Tiffany, founder of Imagireed, meditated on topics such as Black health, Black future, Black joy, Black faith, and Black family with me. While we did speak to community members such as Mary Teresa of Emmett's Arts, Jonte Vega, Cassandra, Janiyah Britton, and my cousin Essie, along with others that I've met in the art world such as Dominic Clay, much of the show was an exploration on how to discuss Afrofuturism with a specific focus on increasing health and wellness in the Black community. This exploration resulted in key takeaways that affects the structure of season 2 of my podcast, Afrofuturism in the AM. The first takeaway was that we spent a significant portion of the introduction being curious in season 1. A segment which I titled Layout of the Problem, each month we explored a theme of Black life, like Black health, and spent time looking at facts off the internet and discussing them. In reflecting on how this helped our creative process, I realized that our curiosity was central to our radical imagination. Though it was nice to look at topics on the internet and discuss, I eventually found that this approach did not allow me to first articulate my clear vision for what I wanted to create. In season 2, I forego this step of presenting facts from the internet, and instead, I explore the topic first through journaling. In my journal, I think about things certainly that I did find on the internet, but the difference is that I think about the topic such as Black love, and I'm able to listen to what I truly want to know, and then use those notes from my journal to explore with others. During the first episode of season 2, I felt vulnerable about sharing my inner thoughts and experiences. But upon reflection from my previous experience, I realized that my community, my friends that helped me in this season, they acted as a sounding board for my internal thoughts. By presenting my thoughts from my journal with my close community members, it helped me understand if the solutions I developed in my design practice come from a place of love. It helped me test out my theories by engaging with the knowledge in the room. Oftentimes, I have been so frustrated by presentations or exploration of topics that don't engage with what the audience already knows. Thus, in season 2, I made it a theme to speak to the voices that I only had access to. The people who speak to me in my everyday life came on season 2. They have been my close friends or the contacts that I deeply vibed with during my time pursuing art as a career in Houston, Texas. I realized that in season 1, though we explore creativity, Tiffany and I did not do very much practical exercises to implement our findings. Simply talking about Black culture is not revolutionary. Furthermore, what I realized in season 1 is that we discussed so many different aspects of a topic that it became difficult to reflect unless we took an extra step to take notes and embody the information and emotions felt during the episode. Thus, in season 2, each segment ends with a reflection and a practice to help the audience and myself digest the exchange of words. The cadence is there are 3 episodes where we explore a topic, such as Black storytelling, and then there's 1 final episode at the end that's a meditation on what we spoke about, how I'm feeling, what's happening in the moment. This is a new addition in season 2. The last 2 changes that I made to the podcast Afrofuturism in the AM is how I understand and came up with the development of tangible resources that the audience could use in their creative practice. Over the course of 2022, I created and shipped out the art box to all of the supporters from our iFund Women crowdfunding campaign. During my time engaging with the arts in Houston, I have always felt that we did not take enough time to internalize community conversations and create action-based items, action-based plans on what was said. Thus, when I created the art box, I reviewed the notes from season 1 of Afrofuturism in the AM and created items like note cards and journals and informational pamphlets that had impactful phrases from our first season. I created a project based on our words, and that led to a discovery on how to better support creativity within my community. A big shout out, like huge, like 2 claps, 3 claps, 4 claps, 5 claps for all of my community members that helped to support my iFund Women community campaign. Lastly, what I learned from season 1 is that we are all looking for ways to escape the systems that prevent our creativity, and this leads to mistrust. Suspicions of others stealing ideas or getting more recognition in my community led to many people working in silos, all on the same project nonetheless. We were not working collectively because we could not trust each other. Therefore, I decided in season 2 I would amplify how to share freely, how to share often, how to share openly, how to share loudly, because I want to build a world of free expression and open trust. Building new systems and tools to imagine requires this openness. Season 2 of Afrofuturism in the AM is a deepening of a process, and I hope through your participation in this process, I will continue to deepen it further still. I'm interested in listening and implementing what was said to me in a meaningful way. To achieve this, I've created supporting materials which you can access via my newsletter, website, and my products. These resources support me in my design thinking as I gear up to create objects that support future-focused creatives just like me. If this resonates with you, consider supporting this podcast by sharing it, engaging with it through sending me voice notes, or funding it by visiting anchor.fm/AfrofuturismXDesign/support. These links to support can be found in the episode description, in our episode notes, and on our supporting materials. At the end of the season, look for my reflection on season 2 of Afrofuturism in the AM and how my discovery will change how I approach season 3. Looking forward to speaking to you then. Adios. In popular culture, Afrofuturism is best known by its sci-fi imagery, depicting the African diaspora utilizing technology as a tool of empowerment, or an imagining that employs otherworldly environments to emphasize the alien nation, popularized by the work of Sun Ra. Maybe many entered the world of Afrofuturism through the gateway located in Wakanda. In whatever ways you have come to this place where African diasporic culture meets at the crossroads of speculation, one central question must have crossed your mind. How can I create this future I see so vividly depicted by many but understood well by few? This guiding question is at the center of our meditation. How can we create the Afrofuture? It is a deceptively simple question I would hear asked by my community members looking for themselves in an uncertain world. Certainly, the concepts being popularized through the works of Afrofuturist artists are not new. Somehow, though, through our radical imagining, they are being felt in new ways. It's my understanding that this radical imagining of Blackness in the future cannot be what is intended to be without the full participation of everyone searching for a world outside of the one we are presented every day. A world where Blackness can grow in creativity and peace. A world where the focus of our lives is centered in practices that encourage innovation without requiring assimilation. Ah, but therein lies the rub. A phrase that means that's where the problem is. How do we imagine a world of peace when we do not exist in peaceful times? How do we utilize our culture when, through assimilation, we forget what that culture looked like? How does the African diasporic community participate in the innovation industry when we are locked out of innovation and creative practices at every turn? So often, it feels like these questions are overwhelming, especially for those who wish to use the creativity of Afrofuturism in their lives, whether it be through homeschooling, organizing, community outreach, or artistic practice. If these questions resonate deep within you, then I want you to breathe. Breathe deeply. Breathe again. And know we got this. Now join me as I meditate on all the ways we can use our imagination and creativity to design the future. I look forward to what we create. Hey, friends. Here's a little bit of a sneak peek at what you're going to be listening to during season 2 of Afrofuturism in the AM. The voices that we'll listen to are members of our community who have spoken to us about Black love, Black creativity, and Black storytelling. Let's check it out.
It's being ready to change when changes come. And it's being able to navigate these transitions. And what I hope I'm teaching people is that, and it's the same thing that we teach when we're teaching people about labor. It's like, you're better off flowing.
You're better off flowing through it. Don't fight it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So like, I was there for 3 of my children's birth, Muhammad, Adam, and Miriam, you know, so I was there, you know, in the birthing room to be able to see them be born. A friend of mine passed away, Shani Mack, you know, can't remember the year, but, you know, he had a Muslim funeral, so we went to bury him ourselves. So this is my first time actually being part of something like this, you know, of going in and physically washing a body. And it was crazy because, you know, he had been shot. So a lot of people have not seen this. I think a lot of people that even shoot people and kill them do not know that the damage that a bullet does to a body and what it looks like when you walk away. People shoot, people leave, and you hear somebody's dead later. You know, I think more people, that should be something that spread. Show people what a body looks like with holes in it. So next time a kid goes to grab a gun and wants to play around or thinking he wants to go do something, do know this is what a body looks like, and this is how foreign it is to see holes and things leaking out of your body. It's not, when you see it that way, you know for sure it's not meant to, that's not how this is supposed to be. But it was interesting. When I walked into the room, there was a smell that hit me, and it immediately, it was like it was a smell that I'd smelt somewhere before, but I'd only smelt it once before. I remember this. And then it hit me. It was the same smell that I smelled in the birthing room when my wife was giving birth. So that same smell, like blood or whatever it is, that same smell was there in death. And at that time, it was like, okay, I've seen both sides of this thing. These are the same things that are happening, but we just look at them very, very differently, you know?
Because every other education is kind of like, oh, I'm going to theorize this before you even do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to theorize about, like, what is it like to be a Black person in the future? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, with Black women, we're like, we've already worked. We've seen the arc of time.
Right.
You know?
Right. But we sit at the top of the arc of time and say, I can theorize about how to make this arc higher.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've already seen the top of it. Right? And so now we're up there and we're like, I could make a thing.
I can right? make it.
And you're looking at, because I think with Black people, first of all, everything we do is, the way I understand it, we're, as much as you can be holistic in this Western society, as much as you can be, we are, right? So when we're running a managing a house, we're thinking in terms of humanity and people as much as we can in this society. And you're looking at, you know, sustainability. You're looking at not just when you're running a house, oftentimes it's almost like you're running a corporation. It's not just your house, right? If I think about my grandmother, right? My grandmother was running her house. She's passed now. She's running her house. But then she's also making sure that if, say, something happened to my mama house, right? She's also ensuring that when things happen outside of her house, that other people have a space to go to. Or when something is off, say me and my cousins, you know, we have an apartment together and we ain't getting along, right? Or, you know, my cousin is not getting along with somebody. She is intervening and interfering to make sure that people have food, to make sure that people are treating people fairly, right? To make sure that whatever our practices are, whether that's celebration practices, whether that is somebody is about to have a baby, what does that child need? Like whatever those things are, from including her own house, her money, her yard, her, like those practical things that you see, that's just part of it, right? The other part is maintaining this system, this ecosystem, right? For these people, as they come and go, when people die, when new babies are born, when people have new friends, they become family, like what Black people say, kinfolk, right? How do we continue to create these relationships and make sure that we're able to last? And that this particular house endures, right? And this particular house is not a building, it is the people.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. I think that just off top, a lot of people don't know what archivists do, you know, just in our community. Like, what is an archive? Like, what, you know, it's kind of this foreign concept. And that comes from, to me, at least my interpretation, just a history of institutional barriers and a history of institutions basically saying, oh, we take journals and we take, you know, these types of things into our collections. And these items are what we use to interpret history and display history to the public, right? Well, for a huge part of our history, our ancestors didn't have journals because most of them were banned from learning to read and write. So we didn't get to engage with these institutions in that same way, right? Until, you know, technology enabled oral histories to be recorded and, you know, different things like that. So we have objects, we have cookbooks, we have calendars, we have obituaries, we have letters that our, you know, grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, wrote on envelopes, you know, little notes that they would leave for us. We have objects that tell stories, we have objects that hold value. Jewelry, our people can adorn themselves like nothing else. Those are objects that tell stories. So the idea that Black people don't, you know, have archives, I think is very problematic. We have archives. We just don't always have professional archivists to help people in our community, you know, kind of get those things into institutions or even organize them at home if that's what you want to do.
Something I will say is my whole life, I've definitely just been impressionable in the best way, like just very open to like different mediums and like trying to incorporate the things that I've seen in my life and like what, how they make me feel, and putting that into my own art. And
yeah, and that is where, so when I say thought and material, I love that you said that with language and communication, because you know the other of the triad for me is literacy, and so it's imagery. Right. So you imagine these concepts. And of course, you know, once we got to a place where we evolved into text, you know, in the literal sense, whereas words, letters, you know, phonemically. But before that, it was, think about, you know, the pyramids, it was all pictorial. And this is where your imagination had to be, cerebrally had to be very vivid, because you know it needs to be transferred, if that makes sense. And so you need to like really like go big. You got to go big, and you have to imagine every detail. So that is where metaphysics takes shape, because you are deeply seated in the image.
I think that the inner dialogue from Waiting to Exhale and Mirror Girl are completely one and the same. And I really appreciate that, because I think it goes back to women as a whole and us as a whole having insecurities and being vulnerable and talking to ourselves through those moments, but also having a core friend group to do those things with and explore sisterhood while you're exploring your womanhood too. And I just think that those two things in transit with each other, really amazing.
We've all been fed, we're all living in limitations and boxes. And I might be one of the few who understands, okay, there is something else. I don't remember like the exact moment when I decided to be, when I decided to become a more conscious person, when I decided to really like live and breathe this this cultural practitioner lifestyle. I don't remember the moment, it just kind of happened, you know. But everybody doesn't have those moments. Because those moments, as we both know, it don't pay well.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't, it's you're not always actively welcomed into spaces. So I can't get mad if people choose something else. Right? Their definition of love is loving themselves. And that's what loving themselves look like. Mm-hmm. Even if they can't make the relationship or don't understand how to make the connection between, okay, this version of loving yourself is actually impacting the greater whole, you know, in this way. So I can recognize or definitely empathize with feeling hopeless and helpless. But I also recognize some people will get left behind.
The voices that you hear in season 2 of Afrofuturism in the AM
have helped me understand a lot more about my own community practice. And so before I let you go for this first introduction to season two, I wanted to share an article I wrote that reflects on what does it mean for me to engage and listen to the voices that I have closest to me. And I titled this article, Community Building in Times of Life or Death by Shatana Pal. The work of modern abolition is to help reframe boundaries. Abolitionist work encompasses issues ranging from housing, education, mental health, healthcare, wealth and income disparities, technology and the application of AI, to name a few. This paper is to explore abolition as an art practice within the culture of Black motherhood. Black motherhood has always asked, how do I care for you as you care for me? As a means of survival. As a result, the lived experiences of African American culture, as practiced by Black women, decenters death in its performance and creates systems that affirm life. Argument is that design is foundational to community creation and collective action. Creating a community in times of life or death is about creating sustainable relationships. The act of creating and maintaining sustainable relationships with those in a community is the practice of culture and care. Abolition is focused on how we work together, because though the issues are many, community action means we all share core values and work as a collective. A process step in designing the future is to have the intimate conversations needed to understand cultural knowledge. We begin now because the future is now. We radically reimagine the world by having a clear plan. We are willing to cultivate the tools. We create from a place of love and we cultivate healthy relationships with our emotions. We engage in system building. We are part of a collective who are all doing the work. Thoughts and actions must align. We build from a place of love. These cultural conversations set parameters for decision making and show the why behind an action in the act of creating. Our design conversations are interested in community created systems that affirm care in the face of life or death. How is design crucial for community building? In both community building and the field of design, the key is relationships. To be in the work of abolition is to issue forth a different future by modeling collective action that affirms care and life for all. Caring for all is an expansive goal when everyone has their own interests and plans for the future. Because sustainable relationships require people who are held accountable to core beliefs, collective work must be designed to aid in that accountability. What does accountability look like in innocence? It is based on love, not punishment. It includes clear communication and celebrates the wins. Community building in times of life or death means centering love in all practices. We believe the future is an act of creation. If we create, we are creating from a place of love. In practice, this looks like we love our bodies, both the body of the collective and the body of the individual. This looks like trust freely, but hold everyone accountable. We design solutions with everyone in mind. This looks like we research to create tools for everyone. We come together by finding similarities. This looks like creating with each other. Our next steps are all project-driven and focused on how we work together through modeling collective action.
We're focused on historical preservation of Black family records, Afrocentric homeschool practices and curriculum, and mental health and creative practice.
You know, with that, I do want to transition. We only have, oh, can you believe it? We only got 10 minutes left.
Oh my gosh.
I know, time goes by fast. But I want to throw this out there, right? So we understand that art is our tool.
Right.
Art is our tool to build community. It's our tool to create the world that we want. It's our tool to imagine, based off the information we have, imagine a new world, to design that world, to actively work towards doing the things that we would like to see. And I've been working on this problem. I've been attacking this problem for at least actively for 4 years. But it has really been longer than that. But in these 4 years, I've had a chance to really learn from Houston as my community. I'm from Houston. Like I said in that first show, my family been here for 100 years. And if anyone from Houston, I'm from Houston.
Right.
You know, I said, what can I do? Because oftentimes when we're asked to create, we become afraid. We become afraid of vulnerability. We become afraid that what we have in our heads isn't of the merit, you know. It's the white supremacy. I see a lot of culture, but I'm not seeing art. You
know? Yeah.
We have internalized that. So I said I wanted to create something that helps us all grow together as a community and build together as a community. So I've developed these subscription boxes, and I'm calling them the Art Box. And I have it again. If you just, I promise you, you will not be sorry. If you just go on Instagram and you go to Artivism Community Art, you will see my post about the Art Box. There's a box for everyone, right? There's a box for those people who are just now introducing themselves to art as activism. It gives you tools and curated, art prints. Also projects, highlights of projects, so that you can start to get your creative juices flowing when it comes to, like, how can I create the world? There's different levels. And I'm not going to go all through all of them today, but, you know, I guarantee you come back, I'll go through some more.
You know what I think would be dope? I mean, because, again, I'm just chiming in here because the boxes are dope, you guys. They really are. I think it would be dope for us to go ahead, like we just talked about, next week. Mm-hmm. I think we should just go ahead and show them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even part of the workshop that Shatana's talking about, there will be some hands-on application in the workshops, you know, for sure. But again, I think we need to see how dope it is. Because Shatana and I also have a partner in BSAM. Her name is Marie. We call her Mary. It's crazy. I've been saying I'm going to call her Marie because her name is Marie. But we're so used to calling her Mary. Mary ended up sending me a box, right? Mm-hmm. It was for Cam's birthday party, her sister's birthday party. And it was a paint in a box. It was a paint party. And it was kind of like the, you know, paint and sip thing. But it was in a box because COVID had hit. And I hadn't painted in I don't know how long, since I was a kid. I'm the singer, writer, poet. You know, I'm that kind of creative. And I painted and was, I thought I was in another place, Shatana. Like, it was mind-blowing. I loved every moment of it. The fact that I was on the Zoom with these people also painting. I had everything I needed. I had apple juice because I don't drink. My stomach can't do it. But it woke up something in me. And from there, I was like curbside at Michael's getting canvases and paint for like the next 5 weeks, mm-hmm. right? It was just, and anytime I can support, you know, her when she has something at the Buffalo Soldiers Museum, it's painting brought it alive. But I think I was so go, and so busy and so stressed out that I had even forgot, like, painting. Like, who has time for that? You know? I don't paint.
We designed that
time. Oh, my gosh. It was so liberating.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's a mindfulness practice.
That's why you guys got to check out the Art Box. I think we need to bring it to them. I think that would be even so. But still check it out, because I'm telling you, it'll resonate with you as soon as you see it. Like, oh, this is dope.
This is something that I didn't just pluck it out the air. This is literally coming from us. I've talked to the people. They said this is what they like.
It's been about a year you've been working on it.
Yeah.
If not more than that.
It's been about a year since I've been developing this subscription box. By the way, subscription box. I know there are some people who are just like, it's a box. What am I doing with it? It's a subscription box. Just like any other those other subscriptions, comes to your house, you open it up, it comes like quarterly, and you open it up, you have all the things you need to implement mindfulness and creative practices so that we can continue to design the world that we wish to see.
Totally.
So with that, you know, we are done. We're here at the 8 minute mark.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Well, just to piggyback real quick, baby asked me the other day, why don't I get any mail? And I was like, oh man, I should get you some mail, you know? But when you just said that you have everything you need, think about it for the kids too, because there's a box, you know, there are different levels, like she said, but think about it for the kids too. Like, think about baby's face when, you know, he or she opens that box. I just had to throw that in because, you know, kids, mail is like, it's a thing. They need it's something. Yeah.
I don't know if you watch a lot of programming, but I think one of my favorites was like whenever there was a mail segment. You got mail.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Like when I get mail from, like when I get cards, like my father and my stepmom, they still do cards. I save every single one because they're beautiful. You know, it's like, oh, this was special. So I just wanted to close out with that. Love on somebody, you know, help somebody if you can, if you're mentally able. That's community, you know, create, do the best you can with what you have. We gonna make it, y'all. That's for sure.
Above and beyond, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much to Jonte for being on our show today as a guest.
Yes.
I also, you know, in the spirit of community and the spirit of celebrating people, I want to say happy birthday, Jonte.
Oh, happy birthday
to you. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us. Because it's really important. It's really important that we talk to our community. These things are great.
They are. I mean, speaking of community, on a broader scale, I want to say thank you to All Real Radio right now, yo.
Yes.
Like, Druden came in here like 10 times, like, you good? You good? And Denise came through. You know, it's just... it's just beautiful. I'm just so grateful right now. Thank you to Aura Radio, you know, and to y'all Zen's Vision, you yes. know. It still very much is alive, and we're just grateful for that. We're grateful for that. This is legacy. This is legacy. This is how we build. So,
with that,
thank you.
Again, don't judge me if there's a slight delay in me trying to get this music on. I'm learning. Let's see.
Artivism Community Art is a production company that creates community-led media. Our products and services accommodate the lack of participation in creative fields among African Americans of all ages by providing resources that teach the philosophy and design of the African diaspora. We help people diverse in age, race, and ethnicity who want to know more about Black culture create their own system of learning by providing resources and tools through our monthly subscription box. Hello, my name is Shatana Powell, founder of Artivism Community Art, located in Houston, Texas. According to a 2019 study by SMU Data Arts, less than 6% of African Americans are employed in creative fields in Houston, Texas. Less than 4% participate in cultural activities, despite the fact that African Americans make up 18% of the population. During our conferences between 2016 to 2020, Artivism Community Art found that the cultural practices of Black and Brown people are not well represented in the arts, culture, and education industry, resulting in a lack of participation and employment in creative fields among African Americans. Our products and services increase representation in the arts by employing Black and Indigenous creators to create and design culturally situated curriculum and art that centers on the culture, lives, and histories of Black and Indigenous populations. During our gatherings, both virtual and physical, we display the works and have interactive experiences, increasing opportunities for Black and Indigenous voices to be seen and amplified. To learn more, please visit artivismcommunityart.com. Thank you.